but we're much better than what we showed against them, and this is what we're going to show them tonight. No doubt in my head. Let's go, guys. Go.
Listening to the 90 Plus Podcast. Here's your hosts, Ben Righetti and Sebastian Pereira.
All right, welcome to episode 27 of the 90 Plus Podcast. I'm Ben Righetti, as always, joined by my wonderful co-host, Sebastian Pereira, bringing you all the latest news and analysis surrounding the Vancouver Whitecaps. And unfortunately, we do bring you the analysis of the Whitecaps' most recent very poor performance against the LA Galaxy. They ended up losing 1-0 down in Carson, California. It wasn't a good performance. They gave up a late goal in the 91st-ish minute, somewhere around there, 92nd minute. It wasn't good, Sebastian. We've got a bit of a show to... obviously, we have a whole show to talk to you about in that game today. We're going to be bringing you just our thoughts, breaking down the game to start off, obviously run through the starting 11 like usual. Since obviously the Whitecaps lost, we're going to be doing our one good, one bad segment. Obviously, if they win, then we would be doing the player ratings. Lucky for the Whitecaps, we are not doing the player ratings this episode. And then we'll finish it off, a little bit of a look ahead down the week as we get ready to face the San Jose Earthquakes. Sebastian, episode 27. Welcome. It was a rough one to watch the other day against the Galaxy. 1-0 loss. Start us off. What are your big takeaways? What's your thoughts on coming out of that one?
Yeah, I think the main phrase, if anyone would take from this game, is how the team has played. A lot of talk has been about Chicharito not contributing as much, and the front office not doing much to address the fact that he's not getting service. That they're not bringing in the correct players and stuff like that, that they don't see a vision for this team. Obviously, the Galaxy are, at this point, the most successful team in MLS history with 5 MLS Cups to their name, and we all know the names they brought into the league with David Beckham probably being the first of a wave of incredible players to really touch the surfaces of Major League Soccer. And, I mean, Landon Donovan as well. He's one of the greats of the league. Robbie Keane. Omar Gonzalez was in his prime over there. I can name so many. Steven Gerrard. Ashley Cole. So many.
Dare
so many
touch players. On Zlatan?
Zlatan?
Oh, yeah.
Bro, no one likes that guy. No one likes that guy in the LA Galaxy team. Yeah, Zlatan and now Chicharito is probably the biggest name they have now. But he's been getting a lot of criticism. And yeah, as I said before, it's a missed opportunity for this Whitecaps team because of how, I guess, poor and dismotivated this LA Galaxy team looked throughout the game. And you could tell in the first half they were just not feeling it. The LA Galaxy, they were just very minimally pressing. They let the Whitecaps have possession. And I think it kind of surprised the boys in blue and white a bit that they had so much possession, which is why they weren't able to move the ball so much in midfield, etc. And I think it really, it's definitely a performance they will want to forget, but I think it's something MDS has to address because, as I said, it's a missed opportunity, and these are the games that make you a playoff team, and they're the games you have to win. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just a 1-0 win, you have to win this game no matter what, and the Whitecaps weren't able to do that. They had some great chances throughout the game, but at times the midfield buildup was just poor, and you could tell it was maybe a factor, the factor of having 5 games in about 16 days, I think it was. You could tell it really affected the Whitecaps here. But again, I think the main takeaway for me from that game is missed opportunity. You have to win this game no matter what.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, you look at the emotional high that the Whitecaps are coming off of. They beat Real Salt Lake. They didn't look too convincing there. They backed up their performance with another 2-1 win over LAFC. And you know, for the Whitecaps, that LAFC win, that was a lot. That meant a lot to them. You could see that, especially, you know, the reverse fixture. They lost 6-0. Everything and the kitchen sink went against the Whitecaps that night. So to come back, get that victory against the same squad that beat you 6-0, it does a lot for your confidence. And then you look, you have a week off, so you get a bit of rest. like you said, it was 5 and 16 days there. But, you know, you have the week off. There was no game midweek, so they had lots of time to prepare for a Galaxy side that were winless in their last seven. They hadn't got a point in their last six. They'd been outscored over that six-game run. I think it was 19-4, 19-5, somewhere in that range. You know, it's a Galaxy side that were struggling, and the guys at TSN that were broadcasting the game, they got it right, saying that if the Galaxy lost this game, their season was over. You know, their season was hanging by a thread before that fixture against the Whitecaps. And I mean, you look at what they are, the way they're facing now, you know, they've got so much more confidence. Even if it was a bad, gritty, dirty 1-0 victory, you know, they've got the confidence, they've got their ball rolling, and they're all of a sudden, you know, they're talking about their season being over with this one win. You know, they're only 3 points behind the Whitecaps now. They're just outside the playoff race, and they're all guns blazing. You know, they've struggled. They've been through their hardship. And so for them, they're thinking that realistically they can get through all this with a playoff berth, and it's a real possibility. And for the Whitecaps, on the other hand, I mean, we said that the 2-1 win against Real Salt Lake, it wasn't good. We knew that they couldn't keep going like that and try to make the playoffs. The LAFC, after that one, we talked about the idea of momentum versus consistency. Which one really was it? Is that the team that the Whitecaps really are? Or is that just an out-of-the-blue performance that we're only going to get once or twice a season? Going by this LA Galaxy fixture, I think that says almost more about the LAFC game than it does the Galaxy game and moving forward for the Whitecaps. That 2-1 win, I don't want to say it was a fluke. I don't want to say the Whitecaps are frauds. But they couldn't do that 2-1 victory week in and week out against teams of LAFC's standards, because they put in the same sort of performance against the Galaxy. It's just not good enough. I mean, Christ, if I had a penny for every time I said it's not good enough in this episode, in this podcast, throughout this season, it's, you know, I'm going to end my rant here in a sec. But yeah, it's just that LAFC victory almost stands out more now that they've lost this game, and maybe they've shown their true colors a little bit that people may have forgotten over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I mean, you go back to the fact that this was their chance for them to win three straight, something they haven't done since 2017. And still, that will continue to be the point until they find a way to do that. But again, as I said before, missed opportunity. We talked about it, as you said, Ben, I think the last two previous episodes, we talked about momentum and consistency for this Whitecaps team. And You're right. It just does show, like, maybe this Whitecaps performance against the LAFC team that we saw, I think it was last week, it may have been just a one-off game. And I think it's worrying for sure to see a team that we know has quality. We know they have good quality players on their day. They can be really good. And then come into a really disjointed, really unmotivated, dismotivated, whatever you want to call it, a very poor LA Galaxy team. And you do all that hard work, honestly, in the game where you defend for 89 minutes or so, and you give up that one chance and they score off it. It was honestly the one only good chance in the game. And also you have to think about the five games in 16 days is important to think about, but I think as well, it's obvious, as I said before, it's a game you have to win. There's no excuses, and it's kind of puzzling to see the Whitecaps not bring as good of a performance after a very good performance against LAFC. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd hope to maybe see a little bit more of the play in midfield. Obviously, you're missing Johnny Obikel, and Baldy comes in and does a decent job, I'd say. He wasn't the best on the day, and it wasn't certainly his best game in a Whitecaps jersey, but I think it's got to be about consistency again, and they have to really find their rhythm and know that this is a must-win game and take at least a point out of it. I think if you're asking Mark DeSantos now, would you have taken a no draw? I'd say for sure. And it was as you said, it was a gritty, tough match. Like, there was barely any chances. There was a lot of fouls and a lot of really disjointed plays, honestly. And so, yeah, I think it's a very tough match to break down because there wasn't much to talk about. Yeah, but we could go on forever about the momentum, the consistency, and the the missed opportunities for this Whitecaps team all season. If we're going to keep going, you know, in this podcast grind, we can talk about that for many ages. You know, it's something that always keeps coming back to the Whitecaps recently.
And I think at this stage, there's four games left for the Whitecaps. It's San Jose, then Seattle and Portland, or in the reverse order, those two, and then the Galaxy game. There's four games left in this year.
I think that's the positive out of this. I think the
that there's four games left in the year? Thank
God. No, Hold up there. Don't bring out the fire extinguisher just yet.
I'm holding.
I think we'll get to our one good, one bad in a sec, but a positive from this game was that it was, in fact, the Whitecaps' last away game of the season.
This is true.
And now they will be technically at home for the remainder of the season at Providence Park in Portland for the next four games. So I think that's honestly an advantage because teams will have to fly in, fly out on the same day. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely something to look forward to, and maybe we see better performances from the Whitecaps coming up, but that's – yeah. Again, anything can happen in this sport, you know, like anything can happen. So it's definitely something to look forward to, and it's a positive if we're looking forward after this LA Galaxy game.
Two things I want to touch on before we get into our one good, one bad. First off, and I've literally forgotten the second one already. I'll remember it in a second here. I hope.
That's how bad this game was.
Oh, gosh, it's memory loss. The only thing I remember is the game itself, unfortunately. No, I'm going to have to disprove your theory of, you know, hopefully you can get some consistency and momentum going forward. There's four games left in this season, and it's been, you know, it's been a weird season. And, like, I don't want to, you know, downplay the fact that there is a pandemic, you know, millions of people have lost their lives and are unemployed and their lives have obviously changed and everything. I don't want to downplay the significance of that and the impact the virus has had on the year as a whole, let alone just the MLS season. But it has been weird. You know, there was the MLS is back tournament when it was, you know, that even around the world, very few, if any, soccer leagues did a bubble, you know. I don't even think, obviously it worked well for the NBA and the NHL, MLS following suit there. Premier League isn't going to do a bubble. Bundesliga isn't going to do a bubble. You know, everything else is, they're not going to do bubbles. So it's been a weird season in that sense. And obviously the Whitecaps only having four home games an entire year before playing down in Portland, playing the Canadian teams like six times before, you know, twice, a couple of times each. It's been a weird season. So the fact that we're four games away from it all ending, A, thank God. B, the idea of consistency and momentum at this point, I'm just going to have to kill. The Whitecaps right now, they have shown zero consistency throughout this year, apart from the fact they're consistently inconsistent. So and I'm not counting that, unfortunately. Momentum-wise, they have none. They had a little bit coming off an LAFC win, but, you know, if you can't string three wins together in three seasons, you don't deserve momentum. And, you know, you look at, no, I'm being, I hate to say it, but I'm being brutally honest here.
It's true, though.
There's four games left in this year. Two of them are against the top two teams in the conference, which I'm not looking forward to. One of them, which we are playing in their home ground and calling it our home ground, which I'd imagine they're not overly happy with, but they've just been forced to live with it. And then one against a side that we just lost in almost embarrassing fashion to 1-0. And then the other is a team that we were in a similar boat with, except they have taken a completely different approach. When obviously I'm talking about the San Jose Earthquakes here, their season was struggling. We talked to Jamin Moore a few weeks ago. He said this season's practically written off. You know, they're now sitting in, they've strung a few, these are good wins. You know, they beat San Jose 4-0. They scored two goals late on.
Wait, San Jose beat San Jose? What?
San Jose beat Galaxy. Sebastian, come on. Come on. But you know what I mean here, that like San Jose, we were in a very similar position to them a month ago. Mm-hmm. They've turned their season around in a way that we haven't. They've strung, I think it's four wins together now in a row. I might be mistaken on that, but they're in good form. They've looked good doing it too. It's not like the Whitecaps where they get the wins and, you know, it hurts to watch. They, like, that's how, like, a team, we spoke about this last episode, the best team in the playoffs is the team that gets hot and is healthy. You know, if they can get in good form and have momentum, that's who I'm, you know, if I was a betting man, that's who I would be putting money on in the playoffs. which I'm not a betting man, and kids don't gamble. It's a waste of money. Don't gamble, especially on the White House. Good Lord, I've learned that lesson. Realistically, I think that momentum at this stage, it won't exist for the Whitecaps. They could win all four of these games, and I'm not going to call it momentum because they're not going to look good against Portland. They're not going to look good against Seattle. I'm quite frankly scared that this San Jose game is really going to expose us, and our push for the playoffs is going to be over before there's even three games left in the season still, you know? I'm not looking forward to it. And it's, yeah, momentum / consistency is not going to happen in this campaign, and we have to accept that in one way or another.
Mm-hmm. And you pick up the San Jose game coming up, and it's, we'll obviously talk a little bit about that later on in the week, but it's such a big game for this Whitecaps team. It's honestly, like, as it's, you said, it's go big or go home, in all fairness to the Whitecaps. I mean,
I think the Whitecaps would like to go home at this point.
Yeah, at some point, for sure. That'd be nice for them to see their families. But you see the games against Seattle and Portland, and those are tough games. Those are not easy games. And we've seen, the Whitecaps play against not Portland's first team as per se. And they did fairly well in that game. They just couldn't score and finish their chances. But now Portland will come out with their first team 11. Diego Valeri will be in there from the start. Jeremy Abobase and Diego Chara as well. Yumi Chara as well has caught fire recently. So they're going to be firing on all cylinders, and they'll bring out their starting 11. They won't worry about a midweek game. They'll keep pushing now. So it's a completely different Timbers team they have to play against. Seattle, we know what they can do and what they have done to the Whitecaps a couple weeks ago. So as I said before, it's go big or go home in the San Jose game. It's honestly, as we keep saying with this Whitecaps team, it's the game of the season for them again. So
it's crunch time.
It's crunch time for sure. And it's tough for sure for a team like the Whitecaps, you know, to go through so much, to have two decent performances. I mean, the RSL game wasn't as decent, but you know what I mean? They got the win. That's what matters. And then you give it away in a game like this against the LA Galaxy in stoppage time. It's cruel. And what MDS and Russell Tybert were saying post-match was that they thought the foul on Tybert leading up to the play of the goal was – It clearly wasn't a foul, like you could see it on the replays. He got the ball completely. That was a world class tackle, and it shouldn't have never been a foul. But at this rate, where the position the Whitecaps are in, like, you stay away from excuses.
Yeah,
you should have never been in that position in the first place to concede a goal in the last few minutes. So you can't make excuses at that point. You have to keep going and you have to grind for that result. And we didn't really see the Whitecaps grinding throughout this LA Galaxy game at all. So
I think we've seen the Whitecaps.
They only have themselves to blame at the end of the day.
I do think the Whitecaps have grinded for, in total, about 64 minutes this entire season. But that's
count those
that's
6 minutes. Those 6 minutes at MLS's back against Chicago. You better put those in.
I would say the majority of the first half against LAFC. We look good in phases in a couple of our home games. Take 10 minutes out of all those home games, sticking together. I'd say, close to a full 90-minute performance. They've, looked very impressive. Moving on from that, and I've completely given up on the other thing that I was supposed to remember.
Hop into the one good, one bad?
I think we should just hop into the one good, one bad. Sebastian, one good, one bad. Tell me something good about this Whitecaps performance, because I really need to cheer up right now.
I'll do my best. So I think for me, the one good thing to take away from this game, as I said before, it's the fact that it's the last away game, but I think you also got some really good defensive performances from Evan Bush, who's basically playing for a job right now. He is contracted until next year, November 2021, but he is at a contract option at the end of the year, so we don't know if he's going to be with the Whitecaps next season. So it was important for him to have a big game and a game where he could show what he's capable of. And that's what he did against the LA Galaxy. You know, he made some big saves at the start to bail out Jake Nowitzki against Christian Pavon. He made, I think it was two saves there in that play.
Yeah.
Maybe mistaken, might have been three. And later on in the game, he also made some decent saves as well. So fair play to him. He didn't deserve to lose for sure. And I think it was just cruel on him to concede a goal like that in stoppage time after putting in such a strong shift and making some key saves in the game. I think Nowitzki, apart from that mistake that he made in the first half and in the early minutes of the game, he was really good. And part of the reason why LA Galaxy got their goal was because Nowitzki was so good at dealing with Pabon on that right side, or if you're talking LA Galaxy formation, left side. And then eventually it's cruel how the game works, because someone does so well and then so the coach decides to change something. Guillermo Barrios Schelotto from the LA Galaxy, the coach there, he switched Pabon to the right side of their formation and the left side of the Whitecaps formation, where Christian Gutierrez was subbed on. And as soon as Gutierrez was subbed on, Schelotto thought, oh, let's just test this guy right from the off and see what he can do, whatever. So they just moved Pabon to the right side. He put in I think it was probably like two or three crosses into the box while Gutierrez was at left back, and one of those crosses ended up being the goal. So fair play to Jake Nowitzki, because he shut down a really good winger down, but it's cruel how the game works sometimes when someone puts in a great shift and then it goes to the other side of the pitch and it doesn't go so well. So, again, I think Nowitzki did solid on the day. I think he had like five interceptions, even more. Okay. I don't have the who scored numbers up here, but he was great as well. And he's someone who could definitely be my MVP of the Whitecaps come the end of the season. For sure, defender of the year. Mm-hmm. On this Whitecaps team, for sure.
Fair enough.
That was my – and then my – did I talk about my bad? No, I haven't talked about my bad.
Yeah, no, just you're good.
So my bad would just be like
– Take your pick.
Everything. Yeah. No, my – the one bad I want to pick out here is the lack of fluidity in midfield. I think we saw how good this midfield can become against LAFC, and just to see it drain out so much against this in this LA Galaxy game was real crushing to see, especially after a performance against LAFC where you see the midfield, you know, make some good passes, get involved in the attack, drive the team forward and stuff like that. And then here against LA Galaxy, it was just nothing but that. It was just really disjointed, really, I don't know
choppy.
What to say. Choppy.
I'll go as far as saying non-existent that time.
Yeah,
there was massive times, holes everywhere.
Yeah, and they just didn't look comfortable in possession. You know what I mean? Like, they just at times they didn't know what to do with it. They were lost in a way. Mm-hmm. And I remember at times where they just have so much space, go 1v1 with players, and you know, create some space, create opportunities, but no one was trying to, like, you know, make that exciting play. No one was trying to, you know, go direct 1v1. I think Dahomey was trying. I think he was I think it was all right in this game. Montero as well. I mean, he didn't have the best of games for sure, but he was always trying, you know, to like get Dahomey involved and stuff like that, which is always good. And Cava, I think, as well, was good with his switch, with his build up play and, you know, holding up the ball. But just the midfield overall of Tiber, Bakel and Baldy was just flat. It was just they didn't have any intent carrying the ball forward. I think it wasn't Bakel, pardon me, it was Owusu in there. It was just so flat for me, and there was just no fluidity to moving the ball upfield with a desire, if I'm gonna call it that. It was bad to watch, in all fairness. And that's my one good and my one bad, but it's worrying.
That's a bad.
You need fluidity in midfield. It's something we talked about a lot in the last couple of weeks here on the 90 Plus podcast, and also how important it is to get the midfield involved in the attack, you know, the transition game, how important it is for this Whitecaps team, and to see it not work out in a game where you have, I think, 60 or more percent possession is...
I think it finished with 55% possession. For 55? Most of the game, it was over 60, but I think LA came back in the last 10, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It finished at 55%.
Yeah, 55%. Mm. I mean, if you have 55% of the ball, you're going to have to use it some way, right? Like, we talked about it a couple episodes ago. It's not just the having possession. It's about using it. Mm-hmm. And the Whitecaps didn't use it here again. They had so much space at times, and they just never used it. It's disappointing to see.
That is completely fair. And Sebastian, I'm looking at the heat maps as we talk right now, because obviously, like you said, 55% possession, that's got to go somewhere. And the three red spots where, you know, most activity was just before halfway on the left side, just before halfway on the right side, and in our own six-yard box. In our own six-yard box is where we had a lot of our brutal possession, which is obviously not a good thing. Sebastian, those are very good goods and bad bads.
thanks, man.
My one good. It's kind of building off of your bad. Like you said, Tybert, Owusu, and Baldy didn't quite connect completely. It looked flat and slow a lot of the time. My good is that Gutierrez is back. I've really raved about him a lot this year. I've liked the majority of what I've seen from him, and I think he has a lot to offer this club moving forward. I think with that, Ali Adnan also has shown arguably his best play at left mid or in a more advanced position than left back. And also that does mean that the current occupant of the left mid spot, Russell Tybert, would be out of the roster. So my good is that hopefully if Gutierrez if he recovers and, gets more active in training over the next couple of days, maybe you could even see him start against San Jose, if not bring him on early and possibly push Adnan up a little bit. But so my good realistically is Gutierrez is in. So A, he's good that he's back from his injury, and I just like having him in the roster. That also means that Russell Tybert would be the most likely candidate to take a seat for him, pushing Ali Adnan up to left mid. Because like you said, I've said a lot this year, I've liked Tybert in these sort of possession games where at left mid, he can slow it down a bit and he can look up and see the field. And we know he's not a winger. He's not like Dahomey, Milinkovic, where he's strong on the ball, he's fast, he's skillful. That's not Tybert's game. I think maybe a lot of people are still struggling to figure out Tybert's game, including maybe Mark DeSantis. But he's done a decent job at times at left mid, and I think this year I've seen his best performances from him at that left mid spot. But in games like this where you're lacking intensity, you're lacking ferocity, you're lacking speed and aggression, Tybert isn't going to be the guy to get you in. And you see Ali Adnan, he's, even if he gives up a couple of fouls, he's making those challenges. He's yelling at his teammates to get them fired up. And I think just on the ball, he brings more to the attack than Russell Tybert out at left mid. So my good is Gutierrez is in, and that could mean that soon Tybert will be out of that left mid spot. My bad.
Hopefully.
My bad, and it's good to see that we both sort of stayed away from the intensity factor that I think was glaringly obvious. So obviously you went for the midfield fluidity and shape. I went for something that you've been quite hot on the last couple of weeks, the play the kids movement, trend, whatever you want to call it. It took a bit of a hit in this game. Baldy, this wasn't his best performance by a long shot. We've seen him do much better. And I think for him right now, he's battling with Bekele and Owusu for a starting spot. So if he gets a chance to start, he needs to deliver and step up. And he just didn't. He had a very flat performance. We didn't see as much of his passing as maybe we'd like to see. Even his defense wasn't completely all together at times. So not the best from him. Raposo came on and he was very quiet. We saw back in March when these two teams met. I know we forget that game almost happens sometimes. But these two teams met in March. Raposo came on, and he completely changed the game in the second half back in March. He had nowhere near the same effect as he did on the weekend there against the Galaxy. So poor from Baldy, quiet game from Raposo. And even Theo Bear, he had that good chance late on in stoppage time to equalize it. But still, DeSantis isn't bringing him on until he came on in the 90th minute. And, there's only so much you can do in, 3 minutes. And the fact that he even had one good chance is, a good look for him. But overall, it kind of killed a lot of the movement and the sort of the momentum that the Play the Kids idea was gathering. I think, obviously, we have a lot of talent in our youngsters, Gutierrez, Baldy, Bear, Raposo, lots of quality players there. Thomas Asal, another one. Realistically, I just think that it wasn't, it's been growing and we've relied a lot on our youth, especially when we went to the MLS's back tournament. And this game, it kind of took a bit of a step backwards when we were hoping late in the season we could get some surprise performances from youngsters, or if Patrick Metcalf came on and did a bit more of a complete job in midfield or whatever. We haven't seen that. So I think my bad was the Play the Kids movement took a bit of a backward step in this one. I think with that, I've got a couple of numbers here I just want to put out there, Sebastian, before we do wrap up episode 27 here. Do you have anything you want to add before I kind of blurt these out and we can discuss them as we wrap this one up?
Oh, I just wanted to add that I think you're like your points are really good, bro. Like,
thank you.
I want to put that out there for sure.
You can chip in with that anytime. You can also chip in on Twitter on @90plus podcast. We always love our listeners gaining and, you know, interacting with us on there. Plus, from there you can see myself and Sebastian's individual work. We both do lots of writing. Sebastian does some photography, edits and sort of stuff like that on his Instagram, sebastianpereira.media. I'm at Rigetti Ben on Twitter. He's at SebastianP74 on Twitter. So, yeah, we're doing our thing. We've got more than just sitting on a Zoom call, in our rooms and stuff. We have more to do with our lives than that,
Yeah. Sebastian's I just wanted to say, like, I agree with you with the fact that, like, the Play the Kids thing is just kind of, I wouldn't say it's overhyped, but I would say in a way it is, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't say it's completely overhyped, but I think it
gives us something to hold on to, because realistically we don't have a lot of hope right now. So saying that there's these future kids coming up, then, we'll cling on to that with our bare life.
Yeah. And it's either you play the kids or you don't play the kids as well. Because, like, if we see in Theo Bear's case, I mean, he's basically disappeared for the past, 3 weeks, I'd say.
Season. I'd say.
He was pretty good in the home stretch.
In the home games. Yeah. He was really good in the home games.
And I think after the second Montreal game, he kind of just dropped out of the lineup. And after the LAFC game as well, he just kind of disappeared. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. And it's puzzling because Bear is a player that's kind of changed my mind this season. I wasn't on the Theo Bear hype train when the season started, and last season as well. 2019, I wasn't seeing the flashes, and I was there, but I think he's stepped out a lot this year and he's really matured. You can see the pace that he has is insane. I mean, for a guy that big and the physicality he has, he's got tons of pace. So it's surprising not to see him contribute more and, like, come off the bench a bit more. It's surprising to see MDS not bring him on earlier in this Galaxy game. So, again, it's either you're going to play your kids or you're not going to play your kids. You know what I mean? But, like, stick to one or the other. It's frustrating, again, for this Whitecaps team to see flashes of these young players and then they kind of just step out of the team, whether that be the manager's fault or be it they do some weird thing in the changing rooms or something the manager doesn't like. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not the changing rooms specifically, but, like, you know.
Around the facilities.
In around the facilities. They come in late or something, you know what I mean? So you don't like to see, kids come through the academy and then they're like, oh wow, this new kid's coming through the academy. Important that you give these guys their opportunity, and if they do well, you have to give them the opportunity to show themselves, especially in a season like this one where we're talking about a global pandemic. So
yeah,
it's either play the kids or you don't play the kids. That's my message.
And no, I do agree with that, and I do agree with the fact that Marcus, the, like, we've had, some negative things to say about Marcus Santos on this podcast this season.
He's a great guy.
He's a really good guy. But I think the thing that I like most about him is that he rewards, hard work and good performances. Like, I mean, I think nearly every game this year, when they get the win, he'll send out a very similar, if not the same, starting 11 in their next game. And I do like that, you go out there, you get the win, you get rewarded with more playing time. You put in extra work in practice, you get playing time. We saw that with Patrick Metcalf. I think the fact that he came on our podcast probably had something to do with it as well, to, boost his overall rating or whatever. But,
Shout out Patrick.
I think that was bad. I'm not even going to try to get. I think that was episode 19. That could have been JJ. It was one of the. Somewhere around there. Anyway, and then you see stuff with, like, what happened with Jordi Reyna. During quarantine, he went out, he was playing at a pickup game. He was banned from the facilities for a couple of weeks. Obviously, he got put into his own lockdown. When he was out on the East Coast, Reyna missed the practice or the bus or there's a meeting or something. And next thing he's dropped. He's not even on the bench. So Mark Dos Santos does, he praises good behavior and he punishes bad behavior. And I appreciate that. And I do like that, he's very for the players. This is why it surprises me when he doesn't play the kids when they have strong showings. If it's fair enough and they don't really stand out in practice or whatever, or they don't do much when they come on in games, fair enough. But that's the one thing that has kind of confused me and caught me by surprise this year.
Same here, yeah, for sure.
And then, yeah, so the last sort of thing I do want to touch on before we wrap this one up here, I took the liberty of jotting down some stats from when San Jose beat LA 2-1 and then when LA beat Vancouver 1-0. So both games, you know, one goal margins, San Jose. And this is so San Jose also has recently beat LA 4-0, and that was more recent than their 2-1 victory. But for the sake of this argument, I'm going to take – this was when as San Jose were just starting to get, the, their everything in order, the ducks in a row and everything. So when San Jose beat LA, shots on target were 6-1 for San Jose. When LA beat Vancouver, it was 5-5. Possession was 62% in favor of San Jose. That went down to 55% in the Vancouver game. Total number of passes actually went up from for Vancouver. It was 452 for San Jose. That went up to 495. This is the part that I don't say I don't like because I don't like a lot of this. But passes for San Jose up 127. Possession from San Jose up 8%. Corners from corners in the LA game doubled against Vancouver. Like, you can just see that, you know, when San Jose played this LA game, they were in a similar position that the Whitecaps were in, a couple of weeks ago. The fans, and then the Whitecaps go and string these two wins together. They've got everything rolling. LA winless in their last seven. And, I mean, first off, come on. Like, you're losing to a team that was winless in seven games. Like, come on. That's just, that should speak mountains for itself. But I just think, I don't want to be negative when we have been for so long. But I do think the San Jose game, it could be ugly. And I think this could be, I don't want to say a dagger, but I do think this could incredibly hurt our chances at the playoffs.
Cause it could be a dagger for sure, though. That's the thing.
After this, we have to play Seattle and we have to play Portland. I'm gonna say right now, both of those games will be losses and we won't look good in those games. They're both vying for, you know, a top spot in the conference, which they obviously want to do. Portland want to defend their home ground even when they're away. I just think that if this San Jose game, you know, San Jose wants to create some separation there. It's so tight at the bottom of the conference. I mean, 3 points separates last place LA and eighth place, who are in the playoffs, Whitecaps. You know, it's so close, and San Jose want to get as far away from there. They want to ride this wave, ride this momentum, and get away from, you know, oh, are they going to make it? Is it going to come down to decision day? The Whitecaps, even though they're in the same spot, and they want to, you know, every 3 points is going to be huge for them for the rest of the season. Their drive isn't there. And because the drive, it should have been there against LA, and it wasn't. It should have been there against Real Salt Lake, and it wasn't. I don't think it's going to be there against San Jose. I almost know for a fact that it's not going to be there for Seattle and Portland. And then where does that leave you? A last deadline day, you know, winner take all showdown with LA. Are you trusting the Whitecaps to win a game that they literally have to win? I'm not. I'm not trusting that team to go out there and say, you know what, backs against the wall, we need 3 points to get into the playoffs, go out there and do it. I'd love to say that I have full confidence and I believe the boys can do it, but I think if it comes down to these crucial, important winner take all deadline day, which it really could come down to, I don't like the Whitecaps odds, and I'll let you kind of speak on this as we wrap it up here. But yeah, I just think that the San Jose game, it could really not go the Whitecaps way. And I'm absolutely dreading like a last minute, last push to the playoff kind of move from Mark DeSantis.
Yeah, no, and you're so right, because it's two different teams, honestly. I mean, we talk about the fact that San Jose and the Whitecaps are in a little bit of a similar position, but in reality, it's two different teams with two different mentalities. It's the Whitecaps on the one hand, who are, like, in a way kind of pressured to keep this. On the other side, you look at a team like San Jose, who have nothing to lose. They have absolutely nothing to lose. They've just been grinding on this little bit of a, I would say, winning streak or undefeated streak, because their last game was a no-no draw against the Sounders, which that's pretty good. Against the Sounders, a no-no draw,
that's a good look.
That's pretty decent. So they're riding this undefeated run, and they got nothing to lose at this point. They're just playing free-flowing soccer. They got the confidence in their veins. They're feeling it. They have the confidence, which is the most important part. And they have no pressure on them to, you know, make the playoffs. They know it's it's a little bit of a rebuild year, and there's a lot of contracts up at the end of the year, as Jamin Moore told us in the past episode. So it really is. There's no pressure, and ultimately, when you're a team in the sport, when you have no pressure on you, it's easier to win games. In all fairness, to the opponent. So I think it could be a game where we see the Whitecaps season ultimately end, considering the next two games they have after that against the Seattle Sounders and the Portland Timbers. And it could be a dagger. If the Whitecaps don't show up for this game, it's going to punish them in the end, and they won't make the playoffs. We did discuss a bit about, at the end of the last episode, whether is it a good thing that this Whitecaps team makes the playoffs, or is it a bad thing that they don't make it? There's positives and negatives to it, as we said with Ben. But ultimately, I think if you're looking at this team and the state of the organization, I think it's best they don't make the playoffs, and then they can really focus on turning the whole club around in the offseason, you know, making the right moves. It's Axel Schuster's first full offseason. You know, he's going to have his scouting department set up. Hopefully that's what we've kind of heard. So it's going to be an interesting offseason. But again, if this Whitecaps team doesn't show up for the San Jose game, and we'll talk a little bit about that more in our next episode, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly for them this end of the season. So yeah, it's a tough game to look forward to for the Whitecaps, and they have to bring their 110% or 200%, as David Milinkovic would say.
Well, I think with that, Sebastian, that's going to wrap up episode 27 here. We're going to try to get Jamin Moore back on for episode in the next couple of days. You want to do sort of a preview with Jamin to cover the Earthquakes game, you know, the third wheel derby, you know, famous,
you'd love to see it.
world famous third wheel derby. We're going to try bring him on for that. If not, we'll definitely get him on for afterwards. We'll have to wait and see what his schedule looks like. But in the meantime, obviously, I'm at Rigetti Ben. Sebastian's at SebastianP74. The podcast is at 90 Plus Podcast. Lots of stuff coming on there, especially on game days. We do a lot of coverage on there. But yeah, really, for the most part, I think Sebastian nailed it there. It's got to be 110% effort. If it's not, this season can get really ugly really quick. And I think this LA Galaxy game was a bit of a wake-up call for the Whitecaps. Hopefully they can bounce back. We'll talk more on this in the next couple of days, hopefully with Jamin. Until then, enjoy. You know, it's getting spooky season. It's almost Halloween. You know, it's you know, falls undoubtedly here. I put my fan away today. I had it, you know, on my bedside table for all of summer. And I haven't used it in 2 months, but still I've had it there. So it's up, it's gone away. Summer's definitely gone. Fall is here.
2020's almost over.
2020's almost over. The Whitecaps season could potentially almost be over. But like we said, stay tuned on the 90 Plus Podcast for more on that. But until then, till next time.